We're going to take another look at something we've studied many, many times. Go to Philippians 3. Philippians 2, I'm sorry. No wonder it wasn't in Philippians 2. You know what? Let's start at Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, is something catching here? Besides me being an asshole?
Jeff gave it to me.
Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ. Now, right away, there's a predicate. This letter is to those who are in Christ. It's not Christ in them. They are in Christ. That means they've been swallowed up by His life and are living by faith alone. You understand? To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, the bishops and deacons. Now we have all these people that there, a bishop was just someone that was over more than one minion, more than one satyr. So by that definition, I'd be a bishop. Not a very good one, but that's another story. Deacons were just the elders in each of the cities. So we've transformed those simple realities of how to have orders because we became huge. Now we have these guys that are paraded around like they're the second coming of Christ. And it's really, well, it's...
What they miss here is that all it means is you're a servant. And you're either serving on this level, serving on this level, serving on this level. You never change the fact that you're a servant.
Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. I find myself, I pray probably, I hope I pray more than I think, but that's just about all I do when I'm just, when I get bored praying, I watch television. But it's amazing how long it takes to pray for everybody that comes to your mind. And I don't see it as a chore, it's a privilege. There are special prayers for like Jackie and Fiona right now. But it goes, it's just, then if I, and this is what's another really weird thing about prayer, is once it becomes your life, then this thing happens, that you can be praying, and you're praying for somebody every day, and all of a sudden, you don't pray for them anymore. And it's happened many, many times, but what happens is my prayer had been answered, and that there was no more urgency. And that's a wonderful feeling. And I remember when it was first happening, I thought it was just one of those ooey-oo thingies, that how can you ever explain this? And then it's become commonplace now, but I don't worry about what it sounds like. But it's something I urge each of you to do.
I like that. It's like part of what we read in Colossians is about God being the God of things visible and invisible. And that's what you're talking about, those things that you don't see but are as real as the air we breathe.
Yeah, and it really irks me because for a long time I've been praying whoever was present. I get it. I have a hard time sometimes praying for Trump, except that maybe he'll be something. But that guy's just something else. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first, wait a minute, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or necessary for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Now, this was written, he finally, remember we were read in Acts, that Acts quit when it got to, Rome. And this is a letter that he wrote shortly after he arrived at Rome. This is now in 64, so it's just before the fire started. All hell broke loose. This is a quick aside, but I think it's fascinating. There are really two enemies of the gospel during the time of this raid, the first 150 or 200 years of the church. The first enemies were the pagans, and it was the Greeks. That's because the Greeks are what defined all paganism, really, in ancient history. Or they had more influence on it than any other group. And then the Jews were the other mortal enemies. They're much more than the Christians were. I mean, that they every Jew wanted them dead, all these guys. But what happened in one of these, and I can't remember which one it is now, but they went through every single aspect of what to them were the only scriptures, which was the Old Testament. They didn't have a New Testament. And they showed in every single aspect of what I've taught for many years that each word, jot, and tittle in the Old Testament is a revelation of Jesus Christ. But because of the hardness of their heart, they began to not see the mystery in those offerings and in the, all the other things that Jews do. And one of the things they made fun of him with is that all the other cultures had a solar system that defined their times, except that the Jews had a lunar system. And they make fun of them about the Christians. Right now, once they've seen what was going on, they make fun in these letters of the Jews that they're still defining these. They're still doing circumcision, not understanding it's a circumcision of the heart. They still are making the sacrifices, not understanding that each one of them was a revelation of Christ. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. But it shows this thing that we've talked about many times, that everything has been the gospel from the beginning. Anyway, let's go on. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now the fruit of righteousness is what causes many, many, many issues. I'm not too sure this was a good idea of me coming over here. It's he alone that can have the fruit of righteousness, because he is the only righteous one. And the fruit of righteousness, it had then, back then, all the same issues they did in the Reformation, and it still goes on. The difference between the fruit of righteousness of Christ and so-called good works by what you do in your life. And all of the writers that I believe, and it's obvious they would because they agree with me, or I agree with them, are the ones that say that there will be good works, but if you think about anything that you're doing as good works, then you've missed the point. If you think you can do good works, then you've missed Christ. You put you doing something, and then which didn't really have anything to do with you. It was Christ in you. But that Christ in you can only come in your abandonment of self. Anyway, I mean, let's go on. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that in my bonds in Christ manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Now this is why Paul wanted to go to Rome so bad. He knew he was probably going to die, but it would take the legal system in Rome longer than it does to take the legal system now to do anything. And so during this process, he converted a whole bunch of the... In Rome, he somehow, or by the grace of God, he was given a place that was in the palace. It was part of the palace compound for the season. And he was, you know, and he taught the scriptures. And he's converted whole bunches of them. But then now, just in a few months from now, is Rome's going to burn, and then all hell. And that's when they they decided not to listen to him, but to... How did he die? Anybody remember?
Crucified upside down.
Peter. That was Peter. Paul was beheaded.
I'm just thinking about how the irony of Paul being locked up. You know, when you get locked up, you don't think, oh, shoot, it's all over now. I'm locked up. But the whisper campaign that must have been all over the palace and everywhere else, who is this guy? What's he doing? What's he teach? The talk.
Well, there had already been... And just a few years before this, in all of these, like in Caesarea and in Philippi and all over the place, especially at Ephesus, they had these circuses like they did at Rome, but Rome was the huge one. And the circus wasn't you go do a little rides, it was Christians and then later Jews were thrown to the lions. And they were well attended events. There was great joy to see these. But then I think it was Caesar that did it, but maybe others too, that Augustus Caesar, that they kept taking away the martyrs that were going to be martyred in the stadium in their area and send them to Rome to be eaten alive and burned at stake and torn apart by lions, etc., etc. Because it was becoming a great thing to watch. It's almost like what's that these guys almost kill themselves in this new sport, and they don't have boxing gloves on.
Ultimate Fighters.
Yeah, is that what it is? They don't have boxing gloves on. They're just whapping the hell out of people, and that's the most popular thing there is. By the same way that the thing about throwing Christians to the lions was a popular thing. Anyway, I don't know why I keep going on sidetracks. Again, so in verse 13, so that in my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of an envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ, of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in the pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to the earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But I live after the flesh. But if I live after the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you, and for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as, again, conversation always means manner of life. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand. I'm in one of these Torah places of my Bible. Let me see if I can get it. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and of that of God. For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. Most of the letters that, the books that I have, I can't believe I have so many books that have all these early writings in them, but they're mostly from about AD 50 to the time of Constantine. And Constantine he screwed the pooch. I mean, he messed up everything. When he made it a state religion, it was a lot better for the Christians after the flesh, but it was terrible from the spiritual one. Maybe we should pray for a Caesar that will throw us to the lions. Anyway, I didn't even get to where I wanted to get, but I got along. I got enough. Any response to any of this? Take it big time.